Good morning.
He's doing so much, right? It's beautiful when the worship just overflows like that because his presence is here and his power is here. And we give thanks to him for all he's doing, right? Let's just stay in that moment and in that place. Karibu. So I really believe the Holy Spirit has something very special for us today. And I just want us to take a moment to just continue to lean into that space and just invite him to speak to us in whatever way. We have a very special lady who is going to share with us, and I just want us to just sit for a moment and just receive more of him and open our hearts. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you that you are already here. You're moving so much in this place, in our hearts, but we just want to take a moment to just continue in that space of worship, Lord. We just want to continue to honor your presence, that it's not our words or anything about us that has the power, it's you. And so we acknowledge that. Come, Holy Spirit. We lay down the things that would distract, the things that would confuse, even just things in our minds that say, oh, what is happening right now in my life? We just lay those things at your feet. I sense his presence really strongly. Jesus, we look to you. We honor you. We lift you high. We worship you. We adore you. We love you. We will follow you, Lord, where you lead. So lead us today. Lead us today. Thank you, Jesus. I give you thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. So yeah, my name is Joy. I am part of the leadership team here. And it was really amazing to hear from Pastor Edgar this week, something that he really feels God is wanting to bring to us today. We have been in the series, many of you will have heard many times us talking about looking backward, moving forward. That has been our series. And we're celebrating healing as a community. We're celebrating how God has brought so much healing. He's brought so much truth. He's brought so much life to us through this series. And for those of you who haven't been able to follow the series, I would encourage you to just go back. They're all online on our Facebook page and also on our website, trinitynakuru.org. And you can just look and go back over the podcasts so that you can be filled in on what we've been talking about. But safe to say, it's been very powerful and amazing. And I would really encourage you to look into even the weeks that you missed. But basically, we've been talking about our family history and how we can inherit both blessings and generational curses from our bloodline. And we've been looking at this thing as well called the genogram, which you may have heard talked about from here, or you may be hearing it for the first time. It's basically an exercise that we have in a PDF form. If you would like it, you can speak to any of the leadership and we will send to you. Hopefully, many of us have done it. Basically looking back over your family tree and your father's side, your mother's side, your grandparents. And some really interesting things have come from that, and that's part of what we're going to be hearing about today from this very amazing lady that is on our prayer team. Very amazing friend to me as well, but also a big prayer warrior for this church and a big support to us as leadership. And I want to just allow her to introduce herself. Karibu.
Praise the Lord. Bwana asifiwe. I love Swahili. It was we were celebrating Swahili as our language the other day. I will say my names chronologically so that you can understand somewhere along the way where I am coming from. I am Heli Chepkemboi Mutiso, that is my official name. I am also Haley Zila. I am also Haley Maimuna. And at some point, I was also Haley Chepkemboi Kiptarus before I adopted Mutiso. But above everything else, I love the Lord as Savior, Christ as, you know, changed my life around. And it's been good just walking in the Lord. It's not been easy, but God has been good to me.
Amen. Amen. It's wonderful. Amen. So, Haley was sharing her story with me this week, and I was just sitting here in the tent, and it just brought me to tears because there's so much in it that's so relevant for us. So I encourage you to lean in and be expectant for what she's going to share with us. Haley, the first thing I'd love you to just tell us about is your upbringing, how you were brought up.
Yeah. So I would like to say here before the congregation that my biological father is Arab from Yemen. My mother is a Kalenjin, but I was brought up by a stepfather who is a Kalenjin. Growing up, my formative years, up to the age of 5 years, I lived with my grandparents. And my mother got married and to a Kalenjin. And all that time, I didn't know my father. Yes, yeah. I was adopted by my stepfather at the age of 5. And that is when I went to live with him or with them. Yeah.
So Haley, when you were growing up, were you in a Christian home where you were raised?
My grandmother was a Christian. She took me to church, and that is what formed the foundation of my Christian life, because my stepfather, my mother, they were not believers. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and did you ever feel like you were different to your stepfather and in that family? Did you ever feel like there was a difference?
So when I finally was adopted into my step family, he was a great person. He loved me. He accepted me. He educated me. He did everything that a parent does. The only problem was with me. I could look at myself and find that I am different. And I had questions. My father, my stepfather was also polygamous. So there were other siblings who are obviously not like me. And so at times they would tease me. And they would call me not bad names, but I didn't know as a young child that they were, you know, I mean, they were just describing maybe certain people. So I would hear them say, this is a Somali, this is a Chotara, this is a Pointy, you know, all those. And I got offended because I didn't know, I was very young, I didn't know there was a tribe called Somali. I didn't know what Chotara was. So it felt really, you know, it weighed me down, yes.
So that's how it impacted you. How did it impact your identity? How did it impact your faith those seasons?
So my grandmother had, you know, brought me, you know, in the ways of God. And when I joined my mother and my stepfather, they were not Christians, but I felt at a young age that I needed to go to church. And I thank God because he allowed me to go to church. I was the only one going to church from the family. And that really helped me, given my position, given where I was. Yeah, it helped me. And somewhere when I was in Form 2, I gave my life to Christ. And that made a whole lot of a difference in my life and how I related with my dad and my step siblings. Yes. And all that time, I didn't know this other side of me. But I felt deep within, there was something about me that was different. Yes.
So when did you find out the truth about what really was going on, how you were different and who your father was?
Yeah, so in high school, of course, I went to a boarding school and we would talk with friends. And I felt at some point that I was old enough to ask questions. So I tried to ask my grandma if I had another father because I was different from the father that was bringing me up. And they just couldn't tell me the truth. They kept, you know, convincing me and encouraging me. And that was a good thing. That was my father, and I didn't have any father. But I never really felt satisfied. Yeah. And one time I asked my mother, and she was very indifferent. And looking at it as a Christian, I appreciate God because it was not the right time for me to know the truth. And God was just preparing the way for me so that I can be able to know the truth, that part of the truth at the right time, because I don't know what that truth would have done at that particular time. It would have probably destroyed me. So God knew the best time. Yes. She asked me when I got to know.
I asked.
Yes. Yeah. So it's really disturbing sometimes when you go to places and you meet people who supposedly come to you like they really know you or they know your family. And so people would ask me, like, are you from this family? And I would wonder, I mean, which is this family? I don't even know this family in the first place. And sometimes you meet others and they ask you, like, you look like so-and-so, and you don't know that so-and-so. So I got to a point where I was in an identity crisis situation because I really didn't know who I am. I didn't know why people are asking me those questions, and yet nobody was telling me the truth. And so I asked God to help me find the truth because now I was grown and I could see that there was something about me that I needed to know. Yes.
And so you found out about that and then you went to meet your father? That
It's something that took a while. Maybe just to cut the story short, is that God had beaconed people along my path that would help me navigate through the search. And I met someone when I was an adult, almost, you know, maybe over 35, who actually confronted me and asked me whether I knew the truth about myself. And I said I didn't. And he actually encouraged me to find out that truth because it was important. But I didn't think it was important because sometimes I didn't think it was because I was afraid to be confronted with the truth. And he kept encouraging me. And he even gave me, like, you know, tips on how to go about it. Probably look at someone from my family who is probably learned, who is more open to, you know, to the world today, but I couldn't just get that person. But God made a way for me. And my mother visited me, and my kids were asking me, I am a mother of three beautiful children. Yeah, two daughters and one son. So when they were young, they were very inquisitive. So this particular day, my mom had visited me, and the kids were all over me asking questions and I was answering them. And so she was so surprised that young kids were asking questions. So I told her, yeah, and you have to answer them. And it is at that point that I now confronted my mother, because this particular person had actually told me about a particular family he knows, and he thinks that I look like them. Yeah, so I actually asked my mother whether that was my father. I didn't mince words. Like, is my father called by this name? And it is at that point that she admitted. And then she gave me the story of what happened and asked me, so what are you going to do? I said, nothing. I just wanted to know the truth. That's all. Yes. Yeah.
But then you did do something, didn't you?
Yes.
You wanted to meet him.
I took a step. Mm. And it wasn't very easy. It was after, really, you know, a time of prayer. So I shared with my children, and they were very excited. And they really encouraged me that we, you know, I should be able to meet my dad. But my greatest problem was rejection. I couldn't just come to terms with being rejected. So I had all those questions. Today, I would like to know him. Tomorrow, I don't. Because what if, you know, at that time now, I'm 42 years. I am a grown woman. I am a mother, you know. So what am I looking for? I was also afraid of what the family might think about me. Like, probably she is after property. What is she looking for? Again, I was looking at my family, where I've grown up, the family that has nurtured me. Yeah? How are they going to take it? But at this point, though, my stepfather had passed on. Yeah? But I would still feel like it would be betrayal. Yeah. So I finally made preparations to meet my dad. and it so happened that when we traveled there, he had already been informed that there was a visitor coming, but the person who made the arrangement was not specific. So he was waiting. You know, that was what really touched my heart, that he was waiting. You know, that is one thing. So, and he invited me, invited us. He was very welcoming. But then again, you know, meeting someone for the first time, I didn't know that he was also, you know, I don't know what term to use, but both of us were shy when we met each other. We couldn't just look at each other straight on the eye, yeah. So it took time for us to be able to just build a relationship, to be able to look at each other, yes.
Well, you mentioned something about when he gave you some food, when you sat at the table and you ate together. Would you like to?
Yeah, so... So my father is of Muslim faith, and so when we were served tea and bread, he actually said he has to serve me, he has to feed me as a sign of a blessing. Yeah, so he fed me before everyone else, yeah, as a blessing. And for me, that was, it was really big, yeah, it was huge. And thereafter, he told me that the firstborn sibling is Muna, and therefore he was going to name me Maimuna. So he gave me the name at that particular time. So there were two functions or ceremonies: the blessing, you know, that first meal, and then the naming. And it was great.
And it's amazing, because in this series we've been talking about how God has given blessing to every family, even families of different faiths, even if we've come from a family that has a different faith to ours. You had your Christian faith at that stage, and you still do. but yet you were still able to receive love and warmth from him, which is what God has put in each of our families. And it's our job to look for it, because God is calling, Jesus is calling all of us to himself. But even in the waiting and even in the midst of that, there's blessing to be found in every family, wherever you come from. No family is exempt from the blessing of God, which I think that just illustrates so well. How did you feel after meeting your biological father?
After meeting my father, of course, you know, he gave the story of what happened and why it was not possible for him to have brought me up. But he also admitted the fact that he knew where I was, and he knew the person that was taking for me, and he respected him for, you know, what he was doing, and he did a good job. And at that moment, I felt like I was somebody I wasn't. I felt like there was, a huge burden lifted off my shoulders. I even looked at how my children were now treating me. It looked like there was something that was missing all through. I felt that there was a little more respect I commanded from them and everyone around me. You know, I felt like I was a somebody. And it is at that point that I actually understood what it means to have an identity, what it means to know your roots. It made a very big difference. Yes.
And that's really where we've been looking, because we know our ultimate identity is in God, and you are God's daughter and all of that. But we've also been understanding that God does speak a lot in the Bible about family. He does speak a lot about honoring your father and mother. He does tell us to look after our parents and things like that. So it's good to know where we come from when it's possible. And for anybody here who you still, either on one side or both sides, you don't know, see this as a story of encouragement, because Haley was 42 when she actually got to find out about this. God just wants to show us how every part of us is formed by him. He created us. He's made up our DNA, our genetics, and everything about us is blessed and formed by him, and we are to find out more about it when possible, even if it's family members you don't think you want to know about. Even in that, there can be blessing in that openness to find them. I would love to know more, Haley, about any testimonies or anything that's happened recently in regard to your father. Have you had any communication with him since then?
Yeah, maybe something I would like to mention, though, is that at that point when I got to know my dad, or my biological dad, or my genetic father, as is put, there is a part of me that also felt like I couldn't come to terms with calling him father. It was very, even today it is still very difficult, because I felt like I am, anytime I bring that name up, I feel like I'm betraying my father, my stepfather, who brought me up. Even though he's not there, may he rest in peace, he was a good man. He really taught me a lot. The experiences he took me through, he taught me to be accountable, to be responsible, to be, you know, to work hard. Even though he had no formal education, he was a very intelligent person. And I can't give you any record of any abuse. Not at all. And for that, I really thank God, because that is God's doing. So after knowing my dad, we communicated once in a while. You know, he calls once in a while to find out how the kids are doing and how I'm doing, and I do the same. And it has taken like 13 years. I visit him once in a while when I have time, but we really don't have a relationship. We can't talk about anything much other than just knowing how I'm doing and how he's doing. So at some point, You know, the Bible says that we should honor our parents, father and mother. The Bible did not say parents. The Bible says honor your father and your mother. So you know, there are blessings, you know, attached to a father and those attached to a mother. Yeah? So I decided to just do something small as a gesture to honor my dad. And I took responsibility to take care of his medical cover. And that was the least I could do. So I've been doing it for some time now. So he was taken ill. A few weeks ago. He was admitted, and when he got out of hospital, my mother, that is stepmother, called me to actually, you know, thank me. And you know, there is something that she said that really touched me. She said, "I thank God for your wisdom, that you are able to do this for us, even though we were not there for you." And I was like, it's not a big deal. That is the least I can do. And when she finally gave the phone to my stepdad. My biological dad, that is, yeah. It's like it was a completion of a process that has been going on. A completion to healing. You know, many times we expect our children to say sorry to us parents, but little do we usually expect as parents to say sorry, or we don't come to that place where we can say, "I am sorry" to a child. So for me, it was something, you know, very humbling. My biological dad called me and said, I am really grateful for what you did, and I really want to say I am sorry that I did not take care of you. But what I know is that I have been praying for you. I used to pray for you, and I used to know that you were well taken care of, and I respected your father for that. And that made me shed tears, because I could not imagine, you know, he's an old man, having that courage to say sorry to me, to confess his fault to me. For me, it is just a miracle. It is just something that, you know, crowns it all. Yes, and it really touched me, and I am grateful that God could bring us to that place of reconciliation. It completed the reconciliation process, which has taken like 13 years, because I knew him, 13 years ago. Yes.
And there's so much healing in that, isn't there? There's so much restoration and healing. But then, like you say, there's still those parts where you could never call him, you know, you didn't know how to call him dad, and you know, even now we saw that, you know, there's still healing happening, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's a general process. It's not like suddenly something is, you know, completely gone. There's still things that you're dealing with, but yet there's that victory and that completion in that way, and that testimony, which is so powerful. And may that be an encouragement to all of us, wherever we are, whatever has come up in this series. We're going to have a bit of response time in a moment, but I just wanted to ask you, Hayley, what do you feel God is saying over us as a community at this time? I know you are in prayer for this community a lot, and Pastor Edgar had really felt it would be good for you to just speak over us what you're feeling at this time.
So I remember when I started, I gave you my names chronologically, and there is one that I did not. Some of you are my friends on Facebook. Maybe you come across Hayley Zila. So this Zila is a crisis name. I took that name up at some point, you know, form one, form two, because now I knew that I was different and I could associate myself with certain people. So I took that name to fill that gap. What I can say to the community of believers here is this. What really touched my heart to be able to share with you this testimony is, you know, when we were being taken through or being asked to trace our family tree, go through the genogram and, you know, trace your family tree. I looked at my life. If I had been asked that question years ago, I don't know how I would have felt. Probably it would have offended me. It would have brought a lot of rage and anger. I mean, asking, how can I even trace these things when I do not know myself, when I do not know my dad or I do not know my mom? And it really touched me, and I felt, you know, there could be someone amongst us, or probably there is no one here who is going through such a journey. You could be having a friend or a neighbor or a colleague, yeah, who is going through the same. And it is not a very easy journey. According to psychology, knowing your genetic background, knowing your biological parents or a parent plays a very big role, a very critical role in your identity formation. And that is something that is very significant. It is something that is an irreplaceable value in forming, you know, your identity. And the fact that we are Christians does not mean that we don't deal with issues of identity. Yeah? Even the Israelites had a genealogy, and every family identified, you know, that is why we have the 12 tribes, and everyone identifies with one or the other. There is also a report I read about, it was a 2016 report by someone called Martin and Zuleika, and it says, one in 10 children lives, you know, without their biological parents. So you can see how this dispensation is. In other words, if I count 1, 2, 3 to 10, yeah, one person amongst us may not be living with their, or may not be knowing their biological parents. And it is that moved me to share this testimony so that I can encourage someone that it is possible at whatever age, yeah, God will always beacon people along your path. God will make it happen at the right time. Like for me, the fact that it happened when my stepdad was not there is God's timing. Yeah? And so you could be there and you are in my position. You do not know your biological parent, or you do not know who you are. God is very faithful. God is very faithful. As long as you trust, as long as you desire, you know, that God would make a way for you to be able to know who you are, to be able to identify your father or your mother, yeah? And there is a healing that comes with that. And it is also important for Christians to know their root, to know their identity, because some of the problems we go through are generational. And unless we know what was happening in our families with our respective, you know, the sins of our mother's house and the sins of our father's house, they really play a lot, you know. They impact us differently. And in most cases, some of them, you know, impact us negatively. Yeah, so it is that really touched me, and I thought, you know, it is time. I have healed, yeah? Even though it may not be 100%, but I have healed to an extent that I can encourage someone. I can speak to someone. I've all the details, but I have opened my heart to any one of you who would want to know the details. I am ready to share if only I can be able to help you. Amen.
Yeah. That's so wonderful. Thank you so much, Haley. Really, really appreciate
Yes.
Yeah, I just thank you for being open. Amen. Yeah. It's a story of hope. It's a story of blessing. And there's a lot of things we can also be praying for you and your family as this continues to develop and as your heart continues to heal and as you continue to know God in all of those places. So we're very, very thankful for you being able to give us this time.
Yeah. And I would just like to read a scripture.
Ah, yes.
Scripture from... I would like to read a scripture from... let me just read the whole of it so that you can... Even when we are praying, we can be able to really understand what I am talking about. This is from Jeremiah 29. I read from verse 4. This is Jeremiah's letter to the captives. The Bible says from verse 4, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished." Verse 7 is what I'd like us to pay attention. "And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will find peace." For me as a Christian, living in a polygamous home with step siblings, God taught me to always seek peace with my siblings, with my stepmoms, because it is in that peace that I found peace. It is not very easy. You know, in polygamous homes, there are squabbles, there are conflicts, but there were just normal conflicts that can happen in any other family. But the most important, especially when you are a believer, is to seek to live in peace. And you can only do that by praying for it. And so these people were told, even in captivity, seek for that peace. Pray for that peace. And that is my encouragement to you, even as we pray. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I'd like to invite the band back up on stage. We're going to have some response time. Hayley will be here to pray. If anybody feels like you have specific things that relate to her situation, or just in general, if you'd like her to pray over you, it's a very powerful experience. I've had her pray for me many times. And anybody else on the prayer team, we will be coming to the front. I invite us all to stand, and I'm just going to pray over us. Actually, Hayley, would you just pray over us as we're just entering into response time? And then let's just be in a posture of receiving what God is saying to us.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand before your presence. I stand before your congregation. Lord, I give you all praise and all honor because of who you are. I exalt your holy name, Jehovah. Thank you because your word says that you knew us before we were even formed in our mother's wombs. That, Lord, you have a good plan for each one of us. A plan to give us a future and a hope. Lord, I thank you for the gift of forgiveness, that through Jesus Christ, we were forgiven of all our sins. And Lord, as far as the east is from the west, so are our transgressions removed. And this morning, Jehovah God, I would like to commit these loved ones before you. You know each one of them by name. You know each one of them through the situations and the challenges they are going through, Jehovah God. I pray that you make yourself known to them. Whoever may be going through unforgiveness because of one reason or the other, anyone holding rage against a parent for things that they know or things that they do not know, I pray this morning that your mercies, Lord, which are new every morning, will be upon each one of them. I pray that, Lord, they'll be able to release their hearts so that you can begin to work in them, Jehovah God. If there is anyone that is shackled with unforgiveness, I pray this morning that those chains begin to unshackle in the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone that is holding bitterness and rage and anger against their mother, against their father, Lord, this morning I pray that you rain down your forgiveness, that you rain down deliverance, Jehovah God. I pray that this will be a time of deliverance, a time of restoration, that you restore mothers to daughters, that you restore sons to fathers, Jehovah God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you restore relationships in families, between mothers and fathers, between grandchildren and grandparents, Jehovah. Restore relationship between siblings, Jehovah. I pray that this day, Jehovah God, will look back and say, indeed, God, you came through for me. I pray for restoration. I pray for forgiveness, Jehovah. Create a new heart in each one of us, Jehovah. Your word says that you forgive our sins, you blot out our transgressions, and you cleanse us from all filthiness. I pray that that will be a portion. That will be our portion this morning. To every man, to every woman, to every youth, to every child. Lord, I pray that there will be restoration in this community. That the walls of this congregation, the walls of this church, the walls of this tent will experience restoration, will experience your love, will experience your blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So if the prayer team can just join Haley at the front here. Just had a couple of senses there. I can just see that Holy Spirit is resting on some of us very powerfully and bringing us to tears, and that's very okay. That's not something to try and like keep in. This is somewhere where we want you to feel at home and where tears can bring freedom and there can be healing and freedom brought to you. I also just have this sense that there's some people who you are, you know, it's just a word that is hard to hear sometimes, but you are an orphan. You don't actually really know your mom or your dad, and so you don't even have either of those sides. And I just get this sense that God has sent you. There's so much in his word about he gives the orphans a home. He's a father to the orphans. And even in those places, God wants to do miracles for you. God wants to bring you through. Maybe even you're online and that's you. There's actually things maybe different to Haley's story, but things that God will align in your life that will make you understand who you are, even things he can show you about who you are. And we just pray for that day where you might be able to know some of where you came from or meet somebody. But even in this time, he is your father and he is enough. And I just believe he wants us to know our identity as his children. He wants us to know our identity. He wants us to know that every way he has formed us, ultimately he is our father. Ultimately we are under him. So the band's just going to play a song over us about that his promises are yes and amen. His promises over your life and the good things he's spoken over your family and the good things that maybe your parents have spoken over you, even those who have raised you who are not biological family, they have raised you well, and he's speaking blessing and promise over you. So just receive the promises of God right now. But we do welcome you to come forward for prayer. The reason that we have our prayer team at the front is there's something about the action of coming forward. I know that personally myself. There's something about coming forward, even for illness, anything troubling you today. Feel free to come. Feel free to come. Don't be shy, because he wants to meet with you. He's doing something right now.